Hey, everybody, it's Brian Murphy, and thanks for downloading the Murph and Mac podcast on KNBR.com, presented by the California Bank of Commerce. Tune in to KNBR 680, the sports leader, home of the Giants and the 49ers. And check out KNBR.com for more podcasts, breaking news, features, and analysis from around the Bay Area. On the UMA guest line, making his debut on the Murph and Mac show. We haven't yet met him face-to-face. We couldn't get to the press conference. We were stuck. Well, not stuck, but we were lucky enough to be at Pebble Beach. But we'll look forward to getting down to Santa Clara to meet him. So, Brian Murphy, Paul McCaffrey, we do the morning show here on the Niner flagship. Kyle Shanahan, welcome to town, and good morning. How are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. I'm fascinated to ask you a bunch of questions. And first of all, congratulations. You're an NFL head coach. Has that kind of settled into your brain a couple times when you're just driving around going, whoa, I got the gig?
Slowly but surely, it's coming in. You know, I notice that there's a lot more things I'm dealing with in the office. It's a little harder to get to the tape. A lot more things come up, but I'm enjoying it.
Actually, we can probably start there. It is a different deal, isn't it? It's not, I mean, offensive coordinator, you're deep in the tape, you're coaching, and now you have other duties. For example, this, right?
Yes, definitely. I was actually just at breakfast and got reminded of this, so I had to run back in and put this headset on. So
see?
Yeah. I'm getting used to it, though.
Well, there will be different demands. And who have you talked to, maybe, obviously, other than your father, or, you know, or how much do you rely on your father, about the different job of being a head coach?
Yeah, you try to talk to everybody about it. Everybody you get a chance to. Just some of the coaches who have been here, have been around, how it's been with some previous staffs and things like that. Spent a lot of time talking to Dan Quinn throughout the year, throughout the playoffs, the last couple of weeks, the last couple of days. So lots of guys I rely on. I've talked to Gary Kubiak a number of times, and just a lot of the coaches I've been with.
You know, it's funny, Sean McVay getting hired at the Rams was such a shockingly young hire that it almost takes the focus off the fact that you also are one of the youngest hires in the history of the NFL. Guys at your age, well, you're 37, right?
Yes.
Don't get NFL head coaching jobs. Do you feel at your age, though, you've done enough work, put in enough time, and that, you know, forget the birth certificate, I'm ready to do this?
Yeah, I think every situation is different, but, you know, I know my age might be a little bit younger, but I don't feel like my experience is. I have, you know, I've been doing this for a while. You know, I grew up around it, and I've been a coordinator for the last 9 years, and I think this is a step that I've been ready to take, and I just feel I was very happy to get the opportunity.
How early on do you think you knew you wanted to do this? You played college football, right? And,
yes.
And was it then where you're like, I'm doing this? Or was it maybe when you were a teenager and you were hanging around your dad? Or was it much later?
I think my entire life I knew I wanted to be around football. You know, as a kid and stuff, you grow up around these guys. You know, I was a ball boy with, you know, in elementary school for the Denver Broncos when Dan Reeves was the head coach. I was a ball boy throughout my 3 years in San Francisco and throughout middle school and my freshman year in high school. And I spent all of high school every time I was done with school. I'd always go up to the facility. I usually worked out at the facility. I've been sitting in draft meetings since my freshman year in high school. I've always been around it. And, you know, when I was younger and was so into playing football, I always wanted to play. And I think most kids do and want to be an NFL player, want to play in college. And I think I took that as far as I could playing at college. I worked pretty hard to get to that moment. And halfway through college, I kind of realized that this wasn't going to go much farther. But I didn't want my football career to end. And that's when you start to realize that coaching is the best way to go. And I think I always wanted to do that, but not until I was realistic and really realized that my playing days are going to be over very soon that I fully jump into coaching.
Yeah. Now, you're married with kids, right, Kyle? Right.
Yes, I have 3 kids, 9, 7, and 4.
There you go.
Okay, so, I mean, that is a heck of a deal.
That's
congratulations
a full workload, yeah.
On that. Anybody who's got just a normal life, that's a heck of a load.
Well, it's the third one, Murph, I think, that throws it over the top. Because I have two, Coach. Murph has two.
Yeah.
And you come out with that third kid, man. That's the one, right? I mean, that's the one.
It's definitely a difference. They definitely run the show, that's for sure.
They always say, you know, the first one you can play zone. The second one you go man-to-man.
Sure.
And now you're outmatched.
You got a guy
right?
in the penalty box. Yeah, you're outnumbered.
Yeah, my wife and I are definitely losing now.
Well, it's funny because it requires a lot of time, and yet your job, maybe of all the jobs I think I've ever come across in my life, seems like NFL head coaches might work more hours than almost anybody I've ever met. And I don't know if it's totally necessary. I think Steve Mariucci used to say, Lee Corso told him at Louisville, work expands to time allotted. And I'm wondering where you come down on that. Remember Joe Gibbs was famous for sleeping on the couch and everything, but with a wife and 3 kids and now being an NFL head coach, How much do you want to devote your life to the coaching, and how much do you still want to be dad?
I mean, being my family is the most important thing in my life. So I don't do many things, but I definitely work hard. I'm in this office a lot, but outside of football, there's really nothing else I do besides spend time with my family. I've never been able to really pick up golf. I started it right when I got out of college, and quickly realized once I got married and I had kids that the wife wasn't okay with me disappearing for 5 hours. Mm-hmm. So then I get why. So when I'm not in here, I'm at home. And, you know, I grew up a coach's son. My dad worked as many hours as anyone, but I felt very close to him my whole life. It's, I'm not home at every single day at 4 o'clock. But in the off season, I think it's a pretty normal job. Not necessarily when you're changing jobs, but when you're in a place for the second year and things, you have a normal life in the off season. You get the weekends, you get home at a decent time, and you spend a lot of time with your family. The season's tough, the hours are tough, but it's not as much the hours. It's just 7 days a week during the season, and that's because Saturday you're usually traveling or staying at a hotel at home games, and Sundays you're playing games, and Monday it starts all over again. But the thing I've always felt, you know, especially growing up, that it's not as much how many hours you work. It's the quality time you get with your family. And since I do work so much, when I'm off, we spend time together. And, you know, I notice when you get a month off, which we usually do right before the season starts in June and July, by the end of that month, my family's ready for me to go back. You know,
yeah.
I've been there too much.
Yeah.
My kids are starting to go play with their friends a lot more. Dad gets a little less cool. when I can see them in small doses, I still stay cool at least.
Yeah.
I know that'll probably last till they're teenagers, but I'm enjoying it right now.
Right. Kyle Shanahan, new 49ers head coach, doing his first interview with us on the morning show. Hoping the morning commuters enjoying the view from Santa Clara. So you've moved the family out. That's a big deal, right? Have they moved or are they finishing the school year down in Georgia?
No, they're going to go to a spring break and then get out here. We've always tried to, and my parents were the same when I was younger, we always tried to get the kids out before the summer starts. You don't want that overwhelming feeling of them ending their summer and going to a whole new place. So My parents tried to do it with me, and I'm going to always try to do it with my kids. You try to get them out, at least get them in school for a month so they can meet some people, understand the area before they get that summertime with us.
And then summer, and then boom, off you go, hopefully for a long run in Santa Clara. So catch us up since the press conference. You know, obviously the Super Bowl was massive, and then you flew out here. It must have been the craziest week of your life to go from the Super Bowl to getting an NFL head coaching job. So now that the boxes are starting to get unpacked out there, what have you guys been doing in the building to prepare for the 2017 season?
Well, we've been trying to get our coaching staff finalized, and we got a couple more spots still to go. And that's been tough work. You know, you wait your whole life to be a head coach, and you got all these ideas of what you want to do, and then you realize that, you know, you can't just go in every single direction. You got to see who's available, who's left. You got to bring certain guys in and spend some time interviewing people. You don't want to just make quick decisions just to get it done. You want to make sure to do the right decisions. So we've been trying to go through that process. We still got a few guys left to interview. Hopefully we'll have our coaching staff settled by early next week. And on top of that, we've been really trying to get to know our own players. And well, there's a lot of film we got to look at. There's a lot of guys on this roster that we got to study. Some you have some familiarity with, but as a coach in this league, you know other players that you've played against, which me, for the most part, that's going against some defensive guys. And I've played the Niners the last 2 years, so I've got some familiarity with the defensive players. And a lot of the offensive guys I've known studying coming out of college or when they have been free agents and things. But that changes. Guys change each year. So we've been looking at them hard. And when we're not looking at them, we're also looking at free agents. You know, that's right around the corner. That's going to come up before the draft. We go to Indy in a couple weeks, but the free agent period, we got to have a plan on what direction we want to go with that. So we can't really set that plan until we know what we have here. And as soon as we know what we have here, then we got to know where we want to go to improve it.
Talking to Kyle Shanahan, new 49er head coach, you talked about your coaching staff, and we had Tom Rathman on our show a couple days ago, and he's a guy who's no longer part of the staff, and obviously it's a newsy thing for the 49ers. He's a beloved two-time Super Bowl champ who'd been with the team, and we understand that Bobby Turner, the new running back coach, is highly regarded and comes in almost like a senior advisor to you because he has so much experience. But what could you we haven't had your public comments on the decision to gently part ways with Tom Rathman or to try to find a role for him and eventually having him leave the staff. He was very classy and professional about the
gracious,
whole deal.
Very cool, yeah.
No hard feelings, but we'd love to hear your view of that and how hard a decision that was.
Oh, that was extremely difficult, you know, and it wasn't something. I definitely don't want to lose Tom, but, you know, I've known Bobby Turner for a long time, and, you know, a lot of people have helped me get to this spot, and a lot of people have been very loyal to me, and Bobby's a great coach, and I was with him in Washington for 4 years. When I went to Cleveland, he got out of the league for a year, had surgery on both his knees, and I brought him back into Atlanta when I went there, and I told him if I had a head coach opportunity, I was going to try to take him with me. And he's known that for a while. I did too. I didn't know where that was going to be. But I knew that was the plan. And it just happened to be at San Francisco, and it was tough to get him out of Atlanta. But when I did, I stayed with that commitment. And, that was real tough because I have a relationship with Tom also. And I know how great of a coach Tom is. And it's funny when I got the job, I had one of my high school buddies call me, that I hadn't talked to in about 10 years. And he asked me if I was going to bring my Tom Rathman cleats. And what he meant was my high school bedroom. I've had Tom Rathman's high school cleats sitting in there signed above my bed since I left San Francisco a freshman in high school. So Tom was a guy I was close with as a ball boy. I've known since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as if I was trying to replace Tom. I had a commitment to someone else, and I really wanted to work it out to try to keep Tom here in some capacity. And I sat down with Tom and talked to him about a bunch of different ideas, but you know, Tom's a running back coach, and that's really what he wants to do, and he's passionate about it. He totally understood my situation, and I think he respected how transparent we were with each other and talked through the situations, and he thought it was better for him to look for some other places, and I totally respect that too, because that's probably how I would have been also. I know that's what he wants to do, and I'll tell you what though, it wasn't easy.
We're talking to Kyle Shanahan on the Murph and Mac show. And Coach, you know, I think Tom Rathman, to a lot of 49er fans, longtime fans especially like us, he kind of represents the 49ers when they were at their very, very best and those glory days that we still talk about. And remember, you're coming into San Francisco taking this team over at a time. Obviously, that's not where they are anymore. And it looks like this is going to take some time, or at least that's the feeling amongst the fans. But I'm wondering, what's your view of the situation? So you're coming into San Francisco. A lot of work needs to be done, a rebuild, if you will. But what are your goals, or how do you view this situation in terms of asking fans to be patient going forward?
Well, I mean, my goals is to get the 49ers back to where they were. You know, that's what I remember. That's what I've always seen the Niners as. I came here in sixth grade and left in ninth grade, and all I remember was, you know, on those three teams, we went to the NFC Championship every year, played Dallas in all three of them, beat them in one of them. My last year here with my dad was the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I just remember the expectations, the pros around the building, how first class everything was done. And that's what the Niners has been to me my whole life. I've always sit and quizzed my dad with every single football question possible since I can remember. At every single dinner, I've annoyed my mom and sister nonstop talking about football. And all I remember about the Niners was how first class it was, how they did everything right. And all I remember is when my dad telling me when he went to the Denver Broncos, how he wanted to turn that place into what the San Francisco 49ers were. And I felt that him and a lot of people did that, and the Niners were their model. And that's been the view of this organization my entire life. And that's what I expected coming back here and going through the interview process, talking with Jed, going through it and seeing how he viewed everything. I thought he viewed it the same way. And to give me an opportunity to come here with the help of John Lynch and a bunch of other people. And that's our plan, to get this place back to where it was. And, you know, that's us talking. We gotta do it. We can't just talk about it. And that is going to take some work, and it doesn't happen overnight, but every decision we make is going to be based off what we think is best for this organization. We're not going to take the shortcuts. We're not going to take the easy way out. We're going to have to make some tough decisions. It's not always going to be the popular decision. I'm going to try to not be too concerned about perception or things like that. I'm concerned about one thing, and that's trying to make this organization great again. And that starts with having a team that's competing for a Super Bowl every year.
Kyle Shanahan, we got a few more minutes with him. Got to ask him some questions here about, you know, what's he building down there? And it's 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. Now, this is a guy we haven't had a chance to hear you talk about him, and we don't know much about him. He was a position coach in Jacksonville. I guess he's a guy you've known from Houston, and he's never been a defensive coordinator. We're fascinated. You know, it's a huge area of need for the 49ers. It was as big a problem as any last year was the defense. So all your thoughts on why you hired Robert Saleh, what's he going to bring, what's he going to play, why you hired him, it's all yours, Kyle.
Yeah, well, Robert, I got to meet in Houston when I was there. When I came to Houston as a receiver coach, and when I was there, Robert was defense quality control. And he did that for the 4 years that I was in Houston. Then we both went our separate ways when I went to Washington, and he actually ended up going up to Seattle. And I'm not sure exactly how many years. I want to say he spent about 5 years in Seattle. But he got to work, learn Pete Carroll's system. He had to got to work for Gus Bradley. And go through that whole process, get to a Super Bowl. And then he left with Gus and went to Jacksonville. And that's where he was a linebacker coach for Gus for 4 years. Got to know that defense inside and out. And just after me spending my last 2 years in Atlanta, having to go against that type of scheme every single day in practice, I'm getting to know Dan Quinn very well, who Robert Saleh also worked for. And playing against Seattle over the years and knowing how hard that system has been to go against. And it's not necessarily how hard it is, it's how sound it is. They make you work for everything. It's always an eight-man front. It's very tough to run the ball against, and they're very sound in their coverages. You can get some completions and things like that, but they make you work all the way down the field. And when someone makes you work all the way down the field, no matter how talented they are, you have to be on as an offense to score points. Because you can get to the red zone, you can get yards, but in order to get touchdowns, you have to execute, and it's a defense that makes you execute. And always when they can make you one-dimensional, which when you're playing an eight-man front, it's tougher to run the ball. And if you can make an offense one-dimensional, it makes it a lot tougher. So knowing Saleh, knowing the type of person he is, getting to know him in Houston when he was a QC, Robert Saleh is as smart as anyone I've been around. He's studies everything. He knows a lot of different systems, but he knows the true Seattle, Atlanta, Jacksonville system inside and out as much as anybody I've been with. And went through a hard interview process with him. I wanted to see where he's come in the last 8 years that we haven't been together, and it was extremely impressive. And I'm very confident Saleh is helping me put together this defensive staff, and he's going to build a scheme, and we're going to try to get players to fit that scheme, but we also know we're going to adjust to the players that we have too. And regardless of what we have, we're going to make it work. And I think you guys are going to be real happy with what we put out there.
So that Seattle, Dan Quinn stuff, physical DBs, a lot of man-to-man, maybe physical DBs, that kind of the deal?
Yes, and to me, it's physical. Everybody. I mean, the most thing you want, violent people, and you want to run and hit people and make that field smaller for everybody, especially the receivers, and that starts with the safeties and the corners being able to hit. And it's not just about hitting. You got to be able to cover. You got to be smart, and you're trying to get everything. But we look for certain traits in people, and usually, if you have one of those traits, we can make it work. If you have all three of those traits, then you got a special guy, and those are the guys you want to keep a hold of.
Last two, couple questions for Kyle Shanahan, 49er head coach, kind enough to join us on the Murph and Max show. One is John Lynch and how you guys are doing so far. And, what's the dynamic like? He's never been a GM before. Now, we know he spent time with John Elway in Denver. He's been in some draft rooms, but he's admitted, man, this is a whole new deal for him. And so what is the dynamic between you two? How is the process going, and how much time are you guys spending together?
It's been great. We've jumped into it right away. We're watching a lot of film, which we're doing a lot together. We're doing a lot separate. John and the whole personnel department, they're going through a lot of the draft stuff right now, which me and the coaches aren't yet at the draft. We're watching our own players and free agents. We'll get to the draft really starting in Indy, and then we'll hit the draft hard for a month when we get back. But right now, John and his whole personnel staff are upstairs going through all the draft stuff, trying to set the draft board. So when we get back from Indy, then we have some direction on what positions to watch, the order to watch it. There's hundreds of guys in the draft, and that's what those guys sort through. And then they break it down for us position by position, where they give our DB coach 30 DBs instead of 150. So we can really isolate on the guys that they like, and we can start to rank them and start to really find out what direction we're going to go. And we also want to spend a lot of time together so we can get on the same page. John and I have known each other for a while, but we're still trying to develop that working relationship and trying to see football the same way together. So every night, neither of our families are here. We both live in the Marriott, so we're not in too much of a hurry to get home. So, usually Adam Peters and Martin Mayhew and John Lynch, they usually come down to my office at night, and we just spend a couple hours watching film together. Sometimes it's our own guys, sometimes it's other people, sometimes it's free agents. It really doesn't matter. We just try to put those hours in right now to develop that relationship, and that's how you learn, being together. And it never happens the first day, but each time you do stuff and communicate, you start to know each other better and know each other's expectations and how each one of us see it.
And kind of wrapping up here, Kyle, when you guys are avoiding the Marriott and staying late, what are your discussions on the position of quarterback?
We discuss every position, but quarterback's always the most important. We're looking at every facet right now, and we're looking at the guys that we had on our roster last year, trying to get a very good feel for them. We're also looking at options that are going to be out there in free agency. You look at free agency, and then you look at options for trading. Everybody knows people that are talking about being available for trading, so we look into all those guys, and before you make any decisions on that also, especially when you have the second pick in the draft, you better know what quarterbacks are going to be available there. So we're looking at those people also. And it's not like you can come in just one day and look at all those scenarios. I mean, it takes me, in order to feel good about a quarterback, I need to spend a lot of time on them. And it's not always the first time you watch them. You might come back in the next day and watch the same stuff and feel a little bit different. So you got to keep doing it over and over again. It's too important of a decision just to make an impulsive move. When you make a decision on a quarterback, you don't want that to be just a short-term fix. You want to make a commitment to somebody. And in order to do that, you better make sure you're on the same page with everyone else. You've put the time in. You've talked to people who have been with these guys. And there's a lot that goes into it. So, coaching, free agency, the draft, our own players, the importance of the quarterback position. You know, you talk about the hours of a coach and stuff, and that's why it all ends up adding up. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do in the day, and there's a lot of stuff we got to take care of, and those aren't things you can just knock out. It's not just busy work you can knock out. You got to be in the right frame of mind. You got to watch it closely. You got to have discussions. And then on top of it, we're also trying to put together a scheme and teach some of these new coaches some things that we're doing. So all this stuff adds up. It's tough being away from the family right now, but it's probably a good thing they're not going to be out here for about 2 months or whenever their spring break starts, because it's a time that I do need to spend up here and play some catch up, because we started about a month behind everybody else.
Putting all the hours in. And this is kind of like final philosophical question. With the number two pick in the draft, is it more important to take the best value at number two, or more important to take a quarterback because it's such an important position?
The most important thing is to get a good player who's going to play for you for a long time. And that's as simple as it gets. Everybody wishes and hopes you can take that quarterback who's going to be there and be your franchise guy for the next 15 years. But that's just what you hope for. You don't draft people just based off what you hope. You got to draft people based off of what you truly believe is the right answer. And no one has all the right answers. There's nothing that's going to guarantee that you're going to be right. But to me, you got to think very clearly. And what I mean by that is you can't hope for stuff and just wish things to happen. You got to look at each situation differently. You got to see what's available. If there is a quarterback there that we believe can match that criteria and we believe he can be a franchise quarterback for us, then of course you don't hesitate on that. But if you don't see that and there's other good players, if there's a pass rusher, if there's a linebacker, if there's an O-lineman, whatever it is, you need to get the best player possible who you think will help your team for the next 10 years.
So in other words, in short answer is, that you could take a non-quarterback at number two and be completely happy because everybody's like, quarterback, 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 and you're like, well, not necessarily, right?
Yeah, the worst mistakes you can make is you take a guy who isn't that good of a player or worthy of that, and then the expectations change. You get put a guy in a position that is really unfair to him, and you set your organization back. And then you end up trying to commit to a guy who, you know, really, and it's unfair to him, that shouldn't have been put in that position. So you have to study these guys hard, and you have to, everybody in the world, all 32 teams, wants to find the Tom Brady. And, you know, Tom Brady went in the sixth round, but if everyone knew it was Tom Brady, he would have gone with the first pick in the draft, and everyone would have traded their entire draft away to go get that guy. And nobody knows for sure. But you got to do what you believe in, and you do that by studying extremely hard and talking to everybody and looking at it a bunch of different ways. And if you ever think that guy's there, whether it's a trade, whether it's a draft pick, if you know that you have a guy that you believe is a franchise quarterback, then it doesn't matter. You don't hesitate. You go and get him.
Well.
But if you don't, you have to look at the best situation, and what you don't want to do is miss. You're not trying to commit everything to 1 year. Yes, you want to win right away, and that's the goal of everybody. But you never want to do that at the expense of hurting your future. And so you don't want to gamble in those senses. You want to be aggressive in everything, but you got to do what's right, and you got to build your team the right way. And that's what I mean by being patient. If we can build this the right way, that could be right away. It could be in this first year. It could be in this second year. But that depends what's available. And what's available is through three ways. It's through trades, it's through free agency, and it's through the draft. And we'll explore all three of those.
Does that mean you're telling us you're not committing to Jimmy Garoppolo's trade right now? Is that what you're saying? You're not?
I'm telling you, I won't commit to anything. There's absolutely no absolutes in this business. There's a lot of different directions to go. People have won so many different ways. When it comes to scheme, when it comes to building an organization, there's a bunch of ways to do it.
Right.
And there's a bunch of successful ways. You got to work together with the people in your building and the options that you have, and you got to make it work. And there's lots of different ways to do that. You want to come up with the best way, and the best way is picking the right people who are available.
We could go on and on. There's so many great things to talk about with a whole huge topic like the new Niners era, but we got to let you go. We've kept you way too long, Kyle. We appreciate it. Just two quick ones on the way out, kind of yes, no. Have you met Colin Kaepernick?
No.
Yeah, interesting.
I've talked to him on text and stuff, but have not met him.
Is there a plan to have him come to the building or just kind of just lay low right now?
Yeah, well, the players are all off right now, and okay. So some guys have randomly stopped by. You know, we have time. It is really their vacation time, you know, except guys who have been rehabbing and stuff. So anybody who stops by, my office is always open and available.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know if Colin's in town or not, but we've talked in text.
Isn't that funny about text now? In the old days, you just call, but nowadays we text, right?
It's different.
Isn't it weird?
I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, I always get startled when the phone rings.
Oh, yes.
I'd rather have a text at this point.
Well, that's definitely one thing that's changed as a head coach. I'm not much of a phone guy. I really want to use it to listen to music
right.
and to tell me what time it is.
Right.
And now my text and voicemails have gone to a whole nother level.
Or actually, to stream your KMBR 680 flagship station.
Well, that's part of it,
right.
too.
That's what you're doing right there.
But I got to ask Coach, too, only because this is my last thing, is what are, like, give me, like, the top three things on your phone playlist right now. Who are you listening to musically?
When I'm studying film and stuff, I try to listen to more relaxing music. So
yeah.
I'm more of a reggae guy. I listen to a lot of Ziggy Marley.
Nice.
And Mishka. Not many people know who he is, but
yeah.
Those are usually the two guys I'm listening to the most. And if I don't mind being distracted, then I'll put some rap in and listen to Drake and things like that. But once I do that, I start listening to it too much and don't watch the film hard enough.
Yeah, I like the Ziggy. Good choice.
Rap and reggae, just
good.
Like Bill Walsh.
Yeah,
just like
right.
Bill Walsh back in the day.
That's right.
And just because Kruger will yell at me if I don't ask, is Robert Saleh going to play a 4-3? Is that right?
Yeah, it's a 4-3, which I think all that is such semantics to tell you the truth.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Seattle has a linebacker on the ball every single play.
Mm-hmm.
So does Atlanta. I mean, that's five guys on the line of scrimmage. So whether you call it a 4-3 or 3-4, I mean, for the most part, we call it a 4-3. Just to tell you guys the way I look at it as a coach, can your halfback block that Sam linebacker on the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And that just depends how big he is. And if he's a big guy and he's Ahmad Brooks, then call it a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a smaller guy, like KJ Wright, who's not that small, but you're going to put your back on him, then call it a 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no difference. It's the same type of fronts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 3-4s, sometimes they one gap, sometimes they two gap. But we plan on having a linebacker on the ball, and that's five guys on the line of scrimmage. Depending on how our personnel plays out, I'll have a better answer for you what you want to call it.
Kyle, we very, very much enjoyed it so much so that we blew up the clock going long with you. So we appreciate you leaving your breakfast. And just based on the texts and tweets that are coming in during this year, everybody's really enjoying hearing you talk about the 49ers. So let's keep the good vibes going, and we will meet you soon enough. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Look forward to it.
Hey, everybody. It's Brian Murphy, and thanks for downloading the Murph and Mac podcast on KNBR.com. Presented by the California Bank of Commerce. Tune in to KNBR 680, the sports leader, home of the Giants and the 49ers. And check out KNBR.com for more podcasts, breaking news, features, and analysis from around the Bay Area.